Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
We've heard tough talk on the matter. One sheriff in Florida said he's going to perp walk any student who's accused of making a bomb threat or some type of threat, even if it's a joke. We've heard others say throw the book, felony charges, et cetera, et cetera. So what do you do in this case? Update out of a story from Slinger, Wisconsin. So the high school in Slinger was dismissed early on Monday, as was the elementary school because it's right next door there. There was a bomb threat posted on social media for the high school.
Okay.
So at the time on Monday, Slinger School District told parents right away, hey, this is likely a swatting situation. This is likely a prank. That's what we think it is. However, you know, out of an abundance of caution, we're going to send everybody home midday. We will inspect the building. We'll do a sweep and all that and get to the bottom of it. So that's what they did. So they did that. The building, as expected, was clear and safe after that bomb sweep on Monday, now that everyone's back at school. Well, now we're learning who's responsible. Could it be someone from another state? Could it be someone from overseas, as has been the case before? No, it was none of that. It was an actual 14-year-old from the Milwaukee area. Police and the Slinger School District say, yeah, he made the threat on Snapchat. In a letter to parents, the superintendent says the boy told police, yeah, I did it, I was bored. And he randomly selected Slinger, posted on Snapchat to some Slinger High School kids, and the rest is history.
You see what happens?
So what happens now? Do you throw the book at this kid? Does he get the perp walk, so to speak, like that sheriff in Florida says every kid should get? Should be called out, embarrassed, expelled from whatever school he goes to. What should happen to the kid?
It's a hard question because kids do dumb kid stuff. And when we were kids, I was bored means you TP'd somebody, right?
Right. Or maybe pulled the fire alarm.
Right. But in this case, right, calling in bomb threats, disrupting an entire school day for virtually the entire district there.
Right, pretty much.
In Slinger. And then the copycatting that happens after that. And just no affiliation to the school. That's just so
randomly
odd, but,
selected
but
Slinger.
Increasing in frequency.
Right. Correct. So what should happen to the kid? Not suggesting I know the answer, but this is what every situation is different. Every case is different. How is this one different than what happened in West Dallas not that long ago? I mean, they're not the same, but you have to wonder, okay, what happens to the kid now?
7:14, we've got sports coming up next, including news of a new kicker in Green Bay. That story just ahead.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Here's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur just days ago.
Considering a move this week, a kicker?
I wouldn't say that right now, no.
Well, would you say that right now? I'm not saying he knew. Maybe he didn't know.
Had to have known.
Had to have known,
at
right?
least that they were looking, right?
Packers reported by ESPN's Adam Schefter and a host of other sources now worked out and are intending to sign former Jacksonville Jaguar, former Denver Bronco, Brandon McManus, career 81% field goal kicker over 10 seasons. The Jags let him go after he was accused of sexual assault on a team flight, an incident which he denies. The league late last month cleared him to play after completing its investigation. The official announcement of the release of rookie Braden Narveson is expected, as is the signing of Brandon McManus today. Yes?
Okay.
Good.
All right. Sorry. All right. Moving on.
I'm fine.
Whiteout conditions at Lambeau Field on Sunday. Now it's actually going to be gorgeous out, but it's the team's first ever winter warning game. That means they are going to wear their white helmets. We heard about this, right? That they're going to do
special. It was a big, big to do.
Big
players were sounding off. They were excited about it. Like,
which,
know.
By the way,
it's just the clothes
is not unprecedented. By the way, the Packers have worn white helmets before, believe it or not. Anyway, so they're going to be in all white. So they want the fans to be in all white. So to help create the blizzard-like effect in the stadium in honor of winter warning game, fans are invited to wear white attire for the game, kind of like how at Badger games, sometimes they do like the red white striping.
Sure.
Hey, if you're in this section,
I'm okay with it. That's fine.
And this one, they want everybody in white.
It'll look cool, right?
Sure.
And people are excited about it. I didn't mean to splash water on it. I'm not that interested in what my guys are wearing. Really more interested in their record and the touchdowns and the interceptions and whatever.
But I don't disagree with you. However, it's just kind of, I am proud, and I think it's just more of an NFL thing than it is a Packers thing. I am proud of them for giving it a shot. Let's try something different. You don't always have to have the same.
What about tradition?
No.
This is not tradition.
Try something different.
Yes.
You know who really likes the unis? My kids.
Yeah.
They have to grow the young fan as well.
And the young player. The players are excited
Correct.
About it. So if these guys are jacked up because they're wearing a white helmet, fine.
And you can sell a whole lot of new merch.
There is that. Milwaukee Admirals have their home opener on Saturday night at the arena. Ads Hockey is back. Always exciting, these all-fan giveaways. This time it will include an Admirals rally towel that team president John Greenberg is super excited about.
They're actually really nice. I mean, compared to some of the rally towels that we've received over the past from other teams. This is a high-quality product.
High-quality towel right here.
You're not just going to go and start washing your car with this.
You take that to the beach.
That's right.
Greenberg, really prepping the towel.
It is kind of nice.
It is a nice towel. I'm holding it right now if you're watching along with us on YouTube this morning. You've held here.
Yes.
Hold the towel.
Thank you. Yes.
Really enjoy it. Be careful.
Very nice.
Fans leaving will also get an Admirals magnetic schedule for the 2024 season on Saturday. Oh, by the way, we have hockey for you.
Then we're going to play some hockey against what I think is going to be a pretty good Rockford team. So Blackhawks affiliate, and I expect that's going to be a good rivalry this year.
So you got the Rockford Ice Hogs for the home opener for the Milwaukee Admirals Saturday night. Puck drops at 6 p.m.
We have an update.
And it's still not done.
Unfortunately, well, no. Okay, let's explain it. So, yes, we've been talking about the Milwaukee flag, the people's flag, the blue and yellow flag that was adopted like 8 years ago by a group of do-gooders in a contest. Lots of people just started waving it. Even some city officials have celebrated this flag, but it's never been the official flag. Well, now there's been a push to do that. The Common Council isn't sure what to do, so we have to get to City Hall, Vince.
Bureaucracy, legislation, red tape.
I'm so bored.
Doesn't anything fun happen here?
When you work with the local government, doing the bare minimum is doing your part.
It's time to take another visit to City Hall.
So Common Council held their meeting on Tuesday. A month after kicking the can on the flag, they kept it in council. That meant they had to bring it up as unfinished business on Tuesday. So you and I both kind of speculated, wonder if they're going to find a way to delay this again. And when Alderman Vergela started speaking, you thought that's right where he was going.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This has been a long 3 weeks of many discussions with colleagues and other stakeholders in the community.
But you thought maybe he was going to say, yeah, so maybe we should move on to other things. However, he did not. In fact, he suggested maybe there should be a referendum.
I think the best path forward would be to put this question to voters and let voters decide.
Yes, put the people's flag to the people.
Let the people vote on the people's flag. Why don't you just tell me if you want the flag?
Actually, I thought this was... I was impressed that Bergilla said that he and Alderman Chambers, who you may recall is a big critic of this flag,
okay. And
criticized it in the last hearing or last meeting with the council, they agreed together that the best way forward, let's just put this on the ballot, April election next year. Should this be the new city flag? Now, you may ask, why not just vote on it, the council itself, right?
Yes.
Because they had the votes. They could have just passed it.
You're elected to lead. You're elected to make these decisions. Go ahead, lead.
Yeah, if they pass it, great. If they don't, oh well, whatever. But you could have passed it 8-7. However, Bergela said Mayor Johnson had threatened to veto the flag.
Alrighty.
So they said, well, look, let's not even vote then because we need at least 10 votes. We don't have it at the moment. So maybe we do this referendum. How about we just do that? Well, Alderman Bob Bauman was like, wait, hold on. You're going to change the charter for a referendum. Why would we do this? We do this for anything else.
I get why we want to put it to the people. Fine. I get all that. Understand, referendums are a very dangerous precedent that we'd be setting here. Every controversial issue can be sent to a referendum as a non-advisory triggering referendum, whatever the issue may be.
Yeah, so you're just going to throw the referendum up for everything else. Alderman Brostoff, that's the same thing.
If that's the case, why do we make decisions on much more important things? We should be seeking this action for all sorts of stuff if that's the case, and I don't want to set that precedent.
Right. So, and plus, they didn't even know if this was legal to be able to do all of this, so they decided in the end... I can't even say it. In the end, they weren't sure what to do, so they decided to hold the matter in council.
Let's talk about it another day.
It remains unfinished business. Yes, nothing decided.
Any objections to holding it in council? Okay, hearing none, so ordered.
Yes, so now it gets pushed again, and who knows? I mean, actually, what they should have done is all just voted for it unanimously and forced the mayor to decide, put it on his shoulders to veto it.
You could do that. What I find interesting is one of the potential remedies that was discussed at length of going to a referendum, you kind of hinted at it, might not even be legal.
Right, yeah.
City
right.
attorney already told them, like, I don't think you can do that, actually. There are certain parameters in which you can put an advisory referendum or a binding referendum on the ballot. And they're saying, actually, what you propose here, we might not even be able to do.
Yeah.
And probably before you propose that, probably should get told that.
Right. Well, now we'll know. It's unfinished business again for another month at least.
What should we do? You and me, should we keep doing the story? Like, I don't know.
I feel like as long as they keep bringing it up.
Okay, well, tune in for this exact same story 1 month from now.
No,
or is it on us? Like, should we just quit talking about it?
Well, it's not a real thing. It doesn't affect the city at all. It really doesn't.
It's really why we talk about it.
They even brought up fiscal note. Well, what about the fiscal? Stop it. Stop your bureaucratic nonsense. Just vote no on the thing if you don't like it.
Any objections to holding it in council? Okay, hearing none, so ordered.
Braden out, Brandon in for the Green Bay Packers. That story coming up in sports at 7:45.
An endangered wild feline caught in the suburbs of Chicago. This exotic animal found in someone's backyard.
A caracal is something you'd likely see in Africa or Asia, not in Jan Hoffman Rowell's Chicago area yard. And then the exotic cat
jumped on my deck, actually looked at me through the window.
It took several days to catch the caracal in Hoffman Estates, Illinois.
We think it's somebody's pet because it doesn't hunt very well. I think that it is somebody's illegal pet.
If that's the case, an owner could end up in jail along with a $1,500 fine. Police say the caracal will now have a healthy and happy life at a sanctuary in Wisconsin. Jennifer Kuiper, CBS News, Chicago.
Come on up.
Yeah,
we got room for you, caracal.
It is a pretty cool looking cat.
It's super cool looking.
It's got these really big ears.
And then they're like hairy on the top.
And this one appears to be young, they think, and they wonder about whether or not it was just someone's pet, but they can get to be pretty decent size, 40 pounds.
They can kill a small child. They can kill your cats. Oh. They can kill your dogs. And usually as they grow, and if they're aggressive, people can't handle them, and so they dump them.
That's Jill Carnegie. So she is with the Valley of the Kings Sanctuary and Retreat right here in Wisconsin. So that's the new home for this caracal.
Yeah, it's pretty cool looking. But I was making
you
cat noises.
You wouldn't want it on your deck, though.
No. Right. Is it more of like is it a kind of noise?
It has to have a little bit of a hiss.
Meow.
All right, let's move on.
This report brought to you by, Steinhoffels. Visit them at steinhoffels.com. My apologies to Steinhoffels.
Come with me now.
Said I had information on this story.
Well, you do.
My lack of information on the story is actually my information.
I think there's something there.
Is there?
Yes.
So there's this expected news conference today about the entertainment venue that is going up outside Fiserv Forum. So this is a joint venture with FPC Live, Milwaukee Bucks. They've got a news conference today. This is just south of Fiserv Forum. So the spot that the Bradley Center used to be on.
Okay.
They now have this announcement about a 4,000 capacity concert venue. There was also supposed to be a tandem smaller venue with inside the same facility. That plan has been scrapped, so it'll be a sort of a ballroom style concert venue that they want to build on the other side of Fiserv Forum. In fact, the pilings are already going in. Construction is underway. This is happening. There's a news conference today, and a lot of important people are involved, which causes me to believe, oh, this might be kind of a big deal. Joel Plant is CEO of Frank Productions. Peter Fagan, president of the Bucks. The mayor's going to be there. Bob Bauman, that's his district, downtown, alderman. Peggy Williams-Smith, president and CEO, Visit Milwaukee. If it's just, hey, we're on time, we're on budget, what are all these people doing there?
Now, we have had that news conference before.
Yes, so there is that. So I reached out to various sources who have provided me information about these types of things before. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing to me is nobody's talking to you. Nobody gave me anything.
So what does that mean?
So it either means one of two things to me. It either means, like, this is kind of a big deal, and there's something major that's going to be announced, and nobody wants to mess it up or get out in front of it or step on toes. There are a lot of different entities involved here. So, right, sometimes that happens. Mm-hmm. Or it's a big, fat nothing burger. And they're afraid if they told me what it actually was, nobody would go.
That's the likely scenario,
that's likelier,
right?
Yeah. Just, hey, we're on time, we're on budget. Hey, look at this.
They're really excited about it.
Pretty soon you're
going
to see some big beams over here.
Well, okay. Maybe, like, announce a band?
I think
could
that would be the play.
Like the first...
We've already booked our first act, and it's going to be
Coldplay.
Right, it's not going to be Coldplay, who sold out Camp Randall in about 7 seconds. Right, it was 4,000 seats, but maybe an act or a band that
Love
you would
Monkeys.
Know, right? Somebody local, right?
Pat McCurdy,
Eddie Butts band,
the Cubs.
Eddie Butts, I think, is the Dread Pirate Roberts. Is it actually one guy, or is it just always an? There's always an Eddie Butts for generations
You're
to come.
Right.
Our children's grandchildren will still have an Eddie Butts.
He said, you'll be Eddie Butts someday.
Yeah, someday
that's what he told me.
7:45, we got sports next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Asked Monday of this week, just days ago, if there would be a point where the Packers kicking situation could become a problem in his eyes. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll take it day by day.
Day by day. Day by day.
Well, a new day appears to be here, ESPN's Adam Schefter first to report the Packers intend to sign veteran kicker Brandon McManus. 9 seasons with the Broncos, 1 with the Jaguars. The Jags did not re-sign him after he was accused of a sexual assault on a team flight last season.
Oof, okay.
NFL investigated, did not take disciplinary action. McManus denies the report. So NFL did its investigation, said there's nothing here that we see where he violated policy, therefore he's free to play. Packers expected to announce the release of rookie Braden Narveson and the signing of McManus today.
Something happening at Lambeau Field on Sunday. Is she playing? She's coming to Milwaukee.
That is.
Lambeau Field on Sunday. We'll ask Tausch about it coming up in 5 minutes. Very something special. It's never happened before, is what I'm trying to say.
Milwaukee Admirals 1-1 on the young season. Looking ahead to Saturday night, UWM Panther Arena. It'll be the home opener for the Ads, who, if you recall, were pretty good last season. Heartbeat away from making the Calder Cup Finals. They are an affiliate, are the Ads of the Nashville Predators, the NHL team. So given that, you don't always know who's going to be coming back into the new season. Did some guys get called up to the big club, or who's new? President of the Admirals, John Greenberg, stopped by with some good news. Fan favorite Zach LaRue, he is back.
He's capable of scoring a ton of goals. He's also capable of creating mayhem when he's on the ice. He actually led our team, I believe he led the league in penalty minutes last year. he's a lot of fun to watch, number 68.
I love that take. We used to go to tons of Admirals games when I was a kid. I'm sorry, you couldn't wait for a fight.
Right, yeah. You want some goons going at it.
Way to go, LaRue.
Sure, old-time hockey. Like Eddie Shore. Yeah.
2 new goalies for the Ads as well. Saturday night, rally towel and magnetic schedule night. Rockford Ice Hogs in town. Puck drops at 6 p.m.
Trouble for the Trop. The home of the Tampa Bay Rays, as you know, lost its roof in Hurricane Milton. They're now saying it's not going to be ready for opening day next year. So where are the Rays going to play? We'll find out. The Yankees win again in the ALCS. They lead the Guardians 2-0. Thought you'd appreciate this soundbite. Vince, apparently the Bronx Bombers aren't the best on the base paths. Anthony Rizzo caught in a pickle, tagged out. John Sterling's call on it is just fantastic.
And Rizzo is going to be picked off. He's in the middle between second and third. Back to second, back to third, tagged out, end of inning. Boy, if that wasn't the Yankees... That's what they do. Run the bases like drunks.
There you have it. They're that good on the base paths, apparently.
I'm sorry, how was that, sir?
Run the bases like drunks.
Idea Man.
My buddy that I played pickleball with this morning, he drops his wife off at the airport. He's got the fob, but the fob is in his wife's purse.
Innovator.
He went all the way to our pickleball spot, and then when he got there, the car basically told him, you can't drive anymore.
And Packers Hall of Famer.
I was just amazed that the car let you go. I can understand. He was probably jamming to Led Zeppelin or something. But
it's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
Do it. Mark Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News, sponsored by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Actually appropriate. The land of the ice and snow.
That's
white
right.
Whiteout conditions-y.
Yeah, you hear about this, Tausch? White uniforms and helmets for the Packers. First time at Lambeau Field in a long time. So they'll be in all white. And then it's also a winter warning game for the fans. The team asking all fans to wear white at Lambeau on Sunday.
Yeah, I did hear about it. And I kind of wondered when they made that announcement. October 20th or whatever date that ended up being. It's, you know, it's been balmy. Obviously, the last couple days, it's, you know, soup weather and, you know, put on a sweatshirt. But I think for me, I'm an old school traditional cat when it comes to uniforms. I'm also a heavier set fella, so all white, not great. So I wouldn't be probably as intrigued as a player to go this way. But anytime you can get your players excited, and I think the University of Oregon actually, I think, started this whole trend of going with a bunch of different uniforms, and Nike obviously has originated out there. So the fact that the players get as excited as they do, and the whiteout helmets, and I think the fans, and the fact that you can sell more merchandise, I think all in all, I can't sit here and be Johnny Curmudgeon and say you shouldn't do this. It's just for me, I like the classic traditional gold pants, green jerseys, yellow helmets. That's where I'm at, but I get what the Packers are doing.
74 degrees, the predicted high temperature actually, in Green Bay.
Yeah, not much of a wind.
But you could argue that's actually better for this. Like, you'll probably have more people in white because it'll be nice and mild. Because if it was really cold, everyone's got their coats on. No one's
got a white
orange
coat.
Then. Look at Bill Stead being the voice of reason again. Yeah, I mean, because when you start thinking about it, you see a lot of blaze orange. You'll see some camouflage. You'll see dark jackets. Like, when you start getting into that November, December, January weather, you go up to Lambeau, you don't see a ton of people wearing white T-shirts, white jackets. You don't see that. So, Eric's on a roll, man. Eric Bilstead is on a roll. I had not thought of it from that perspective. If you're wanting to white something out, you don't want it to be in January unless the snow is falling with it and then everything blends together. And then that's even sexier than what you're going to see on Sunday.
Pivoting to this, and it's not our team, Tausch. Go ahead.
Yeah, quick question. I have yet to figure out the NFL schedule and why they do what they do, because this matchup, I'm not saying both teams are going to be in the Super Bowl, but I'm definitely saying it could happen.
Yeah.
And I love noon games, but from a TV perspective, why would they not flex this game this weekend? This is one of your best matchups you're going to have all season. The Houston Texans 5-1 coming into town. They have a young quarterback that is a star. We have a young quarterback that is a star at Lambeau Field, whiteout game, and you decide to not flex it. It didn't make much sense to me.
And what's killing me about, and granted, we have early hours, as do you, Tausch, so the primetime games are really tough. And if you're up early with us, you know, at 6 a.m. for the show, it's probably the same for you. Those primetime games are hard for us coming into the work week. That said, too, like, you've got great weather this weekend. Be great to settle in for at least a 3:25, if not a 7:25, right? And get your stuff done, enjoy some time in the yard or out doing whatever.
Exactly. The NFL is always going to do what's best for them, and that's business. They should. I don't know why you wouldn't flex this thing out. And I don't even know what the Sunday night game is. I'm fairly certain if it's not the Detroit-Minnesota game, which is a very good matchup, and I'm excited to watch that as well, I don't know if you're having a better matchup. And the whole point of this flexing is to get the big boy games. at those big boy times, and that doesn't seem to be the case.
I found it. It's your boy Aaron Rodgers. Jets and Steelers. 2-4 Jets.
Oh, perfect.
Be the 4-2 Steelers.
Number 17 is going to be in the white and green.
Yeah, it's that was I tried to set you up, Vinny, for a really easy segue.
Nice. Oh, okay.
To the Devontae. It's so fun to watch, and I know I'm sure you guys hear this. We hear it all the time. There is the why are we talking about the Jets? The fatigue of Aaron Rodgers, and Packer fans are so happy that they're kind of done with this. But you're still intrigued. Like Packer fans are still very intrigued, and the fact that you now have one of the greatest receivers to ever don a green and gold uni, one of the greatest quarterbacks, and they're trying to recreate what we saw in 2018 to 2021. And we'll see. I think if I'm a Jets fan, I don't mind this move because I think it's bold and they needed to do it. But I just look at this from a Packer fan standpoint and say, thank you, Brian Gutekunst. You nailed both of these when it comes to when you traded, how you did it, how you built your football team. Because is there anybody that would rather be a Jets fan than a Packers fan? Even now, and not even looking at 25 and 26 and 27 and 28? Like, thank you, Brian Gutekunst, is all I could think of when that trade happened yesterday.
Talk again tomorrow, Tausch. Dead on.
See you guys.